If you would, please open up your Bibles to the 34th
Psalm. I want to begin with the lesson for this morning there, and then we will continue with other scriptures talking about areas of our life where we need to apply this much misunderstood but much needed concept and attitude and way of life, that of being respectful and showing reverence. But just as a jumping off point, more or less, in the 34th Psalm, beginning there with verse 11, it says, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." I want to echo the words that really stuck with me that Brother Dave said before the prayer before our adult Bible class this morning, that it is a privilege to be here. It's a privilege for me to have the opportunity to present God's Word. It's a privilege that we're alive, that we have this time to study. And so we need to, as the Scriptures say, we need to take advantage of it. We need to make best use of the time that we are given. And to that end, we want to examine God's Word. That's what we strive to do every time we come here. Every first day of the week, we want to preach God's Word, His Word only, nothing more and nothing less. And if there's anything that I or anyone else would say that you feel goes against the Scriptures, we ask you, please, point it out to us. Show us where we're saying something that God isn't, or where we're not saying something that He says. Because that has to be our ultimate guideline. Now this lesson, if you can't tell, is mostly directed towards parents, grandparents, people who are in a position where they can influence the lives and the outlooks of others, to teach them respect. And I thought about titling the lesson Teaching Respect, but nothing against teaching and teachers, and it's a wonderful profession, and it's a wonderful thing that needs to be done. But the word instill seems to carry a little bit more of the thought that I wanted to get across. Because you can teach someone something. They learn it, they understand it, they know the workings of it. But when something is instilled in us, it becomes a part of who we are. I've been taught a lot of things in my life, that some of which I even remember to this day, but I don't care about. It's not a part of me. It's not important to me. But when we instill something in our children, in our friends and family and neighbors, it sticks with them. And that's what respect has to do. It has to become a part of who we are. It has to be how we view others and how we treat them. And as we go through the lesson for this morning, I hope we understand that it's not something that you can have in one area of life but not another. It doesn't work that way. You don't have someone who will respect God but treat other people like garbage. You are either respectful or you're not. You can't have it both ways. Because this is a principle that is universal in nature. So to begin the lesson for this morning, we already read there in Psalm 34, it says, "Children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." That basic principle, you might even say it's the first job, most important job that a parent has to teach their children, to instill in them, is to have that respect for God. And every time we read that phrase in the Scriptures, fear of the Lord, fear God, that's what it means. Doesn't mean we're shaking in our boots. Doesn't mean that we're just terrified of Him. Although He has power we need to be aware of, it means to have reverence. The book of Proverbs describes the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. It says you have to have that. This is the first step to doing well here on this earth, to being wise, to knowing what life is all about. This is the very first thing you need to understand, is to fear God. It's the foundation. It's what everything else is built upon. Understanding that He is the Creator, that we're the creation, and that because of that, we owe Him respect. And we need to revere Him for who and what He is. And the book of Hebrews addresses this. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, turn over to your New Testaments now. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, speaking to Christians, fellow Christians, of course we know the writer was a member of the Lord's church. In verse 28 he says, "Therefore let us," so we know he's speaking to his peers, to individuals who been baptized into Christ. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." You could probably preach a whole lesson just on those two verses right there. It tells us that what we have now, this kingdom that has been delivered, that's been established, we're not waiting for it anymore. It's here. It cannot be shaken. It's not going anywhere. Church has never died out, will never die out. It is here. God purposed it that way. And as part of that kingdom, as members of the Lord's church, we have a responsibility and a privilege to offer to Him worship. But notice there, it says acceptable worship. So that tells us there's worship that God is going to accept, and there's worship that He's not. It's not just as long as we mean well. No. The Bible's very clear. We have example after example of people who would try to worship God, try to follow after Him, but do it in a way that He does not approve of, and we see what happens to them. We offer Him acceptable worship. And part of what makes it acceptable is having reverence and awe. When we come here, do we have that in our minds? Do we understand that, as the Scriptures say, where two or three are gathered together, I'm there in their midst? Do we understand that we're in the presence of God? Do we understand when we sing these songs, we're to sing from the heart, we're to mean every word because we're singing to the Lord? That when we pray, as we talked about so much in our adult class this morning, when we pray, it's not to be empty phrases. It's not to be something that we just repeat. It's not to be something we forget 10 seconds later. We go to God with our cares, with our concerns. We thank Him for everything that He's given to us, and we mean it. And understand, those are things we do outside of this building. Now, we come together, we assemble every first day of the week, and there are things that we're commanded to do every first day of the week. But singing to God, praying to God, studying His Word, that's worship that can be done anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and needs to be done as often as possible. So having respect for God isn't just a one day out of the week thing, and it's not just in one particular place kind of thing. We need to understand that He is a consuming fire. And when we understand that basic truth, that this is God, He created me. He created the clothes that I'm wearing. He created the air that I'm breathing right now. When we understand who He is and what our real place is, obedience comes as a result of that. Over in Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 46, he says, as Jesus is speaking, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." When we respect God, when we see that it's His Word that we need to pay attention to, we obey and we profit from it. But when we don't have that respect for Him. When we treat God as, well, He might be out there, we don't really know, or we have this vague idea that He might be this force or this presence and not a being like He truly is. People don't obey because there's no fear there. There's no fear of repercussion or judgment. And as this passage is pointing out, there's no foundation. There's no standard of authority. And that's really what this lesson is all about. Why do we respect someone? Why do we look up to them? Treat them well? Most of the time it's because they're in a position of authority. Because there's something they can do that could deeply affect us. They have power. They have control over us. And God has control over everything. He has all authority. And so it's His word. It's His standard that we have to be going back to. Again, didn't mean it this way, but in our class this morning, it works so well. It says, by your word, you know, I'm kept in the right path. God tells us where we need to be. If we'll listen to Him, it's going to be better for us in the long run. Because God doesn't give us any commandments that are arbitrary. He doesn't do things just to do them. Every command that He gives us is for our own good. But we have to listen. And most of the time, people only listen if they respect the person who's talking. We need to keep that in mind. There are some people who have this idea that, well, they can obey God, and that's enough. God sees into the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He doesn't just want to see some bottom line. It's why we do these things. He knows the difference between someone who's praying to seem religious, like the Pharisees were, and someone who prays and means it. He knows the difference between someone who comes in one day out of the week, maybe, fills a pew, versus someone who is there, who is wanting to learn, who is hungering and thirsting after the Word. God sees that. And in the end, another reason why: reverence for God, being in awe of Him, is so important, is because He will judge on the last day. We have to answer to Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 tell us the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. When you hear that, what goes through your mind? That He's going to bring every deed into judgment. Things you do when you're around other people, things you do when you're by yourself, everything we're going to have to answer for to God. Do you think a little bit more about God in that regard? What's your attitude? What's your opinion towards Him? And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, it's not just God who notices. Of course, He sees all. He knows all. But He's not the only one who can see these things. You notice when someone is always 10 minutes late for services. You notice when someone comes in and sits down and their arms are crossed and they're slouched in the pew. We're not stupid. We pick up on these things. People know who's really interested in being there. Who wants to study the Word. I hope and pray all of you have your Bibles open and you're following along. You're not just taking my word for it. That's part of the reason why I don't put the full text of the verses up there. I want you to turn and see. Christianity, being a child of God, is an individual effort. We have to answer for what we do. And we're going to have to answer if we don't respect God the way He deserves. Because of anybody in this life who deserves to be looked up to, it's God. Because He doesn't have the flaws that we do. We're imperfect. He's perfect. We need to respect God. Parents, you need to teach your children. This is why we read the Bible. This is why we do these things. We need to understand God. He's the most important. He comes first. And so it's His word that we have to listen to and obey. We also need to instill respect for parents. Teach your children to listen to you, to respect you, and the authority that you carry. And there's a commercial, I'm sure many of you have heard it, because it's on the radio every 5 minutes, seems like, about some product that people are selling, some kind of program on teaching children and working with children. And it has this woman, supposedly a mother, saying, "I'm tired of you disrespecting me." Well, from the sounds of the commercial, her child is somewhere in the 11, 12, 13 years old range. And if she wanted the child to act respectful, she should have started a lot earlier. Children need to respect their parents. This is a command that has always been given by God. We see it time and time again in the Old Testament. In fact, we see what the punishment was for not honoring father and mother. Under the law of Moses, that child would have been taken out and stoned to death. Not every commandment under the old law is repeated in the new. We no longer have to keep the Sabbath. We no longer make sacrifices of animals, keep feast days. But among the ones that are repeated is this. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with the first verse, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So we're no longer under the law of Moses. We're under a new law, a law of liberty, but this is still taught, this is still commanded by God. Not just honor, not just obey your parents, but honor them. Because again, there's a difference between just doing what someone says and honoring them. I'm sure a lot of us have had bosses that we do what they say because we don't want to get fired, we don't want to get in trouble, we want to get our paycheck, but we don't have a whole lot of respect for those individuals because they don't seem to do their job very well. They don't manage well. God tells us we need to have both. Children need to obey their parents, but they need to respect them as well. Are we teaching our children to respect us? Part of this is taught through discipline. It's not a popular thing to say. It's not something a lot of us want to hear, maybe. No one wants to seem like the bad guy. The scriptures are very clear regarding what discipline is there for and the purpose behind it. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, this time starting with verse 7, the Hebrews writer says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." You know, when you're out in the world, at school or the workplace, a lot of times you can tell the difference between people who, as children, were told no versus those who weren't. It's pretty clear. It's pretty obvious which ones were disciplined, and discipline comes from love. It is done by love to prepare that individual for the world, to let them understand there are limitations in life, there are rules that we have to live by. Discipline is a part of it, but it's not the only thing. We understand that. God has specific rules for the home, for the different roles that we fill. Just a couple quick verses on this. In Ephesians chapter 5, in the very last verse of the chapter, verse 33, says, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 7, the other side of the coin is shown. It says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So how is it that parents, which I'm not one yet, but how is it that parents teach their children to respect them, to listen to what they say, to pay attention, to obey? Well, it's done by discipline, that you correct them when they don't, but you show them what it means to be respectful, what it means to be polite. Husbands, how do you treat your wives? Wives, how do you treat your husbands? Our parents are the first people that we see and we hear and we learn from. And you don't have to be around kids, little kids, long, to understand they pick up on it like that. They mimic. They follow after the example that we set. So in a big way, if you want people to respect you, if you want people to have respect, be a respectable person. And maybe this is a big reason why. There seems to be so much disrespect in the world today. So many people who would just as soon step on your face as look at you, that they didn't have good examples in the home growing up. No one ever showed them what it means to have common courtesy. I don't know. Who is to say what the root cause is? But parents are the first individuals we come in contact with. They are the first authority figures that we know. So they set the standard. It's up to them to teach us what it is to live, what it is to be a human being, an individual. They teach us what it is to follow after God. Are they showing that respect? Are we instilling in them, you don't talk to other people this way? You don't do these kind of things because there are repercussions for your actions. You say please, thank you. You take other people into consideration. It is not about you. I mentioned before, at its core, this lesson, and this principle, had to do with authority. Had to do with respecting authority. And that's true. But also at its core, this has to do with pride versus humility. When we're proudful, we don't want to listen to what authority figures have to say. You can't tell me what to do. But if we're humble, if we recognize it's not all about us, if we recognize what other people are doing, if children recognize that if it weren't for mom and dad, I wouldn't have food to eat, clothes to wear, it goes a long way in instilling that respect that they need to have. The right relationships in the home are key, not just between husband and wife, but between parents and the children. Obviously, discipline needs to be there. Also, love. The scriptures say, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do we nurture them? How are we treating them? Are we being respectable individuals ourselves? It doesn't change their obligation, obviously. Children are to obey their parents and honor them. That doesn't change, but we can either make it hard on them or easy on them. But, you know, it doesn't end there. Obviously, we must respect our parents. And it isn't something, let me mention before we go on, it isn't something that goes away with age either when you're out on your own. You are to respect your mother and father. Why would you say things to them that you wouldn't say to someone that you're looking to impress? We need to continue that later on into life. But it doesn't end there. There is a laundry list of individuals that deserve our respect, that we need to treat well. Elders fall under this category. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter now. In Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 17, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." It says that the elders of the church, the bishops serving here, they keep watch over our souls. They have a heavy responsibility. Are we making their job easier or harder? And are we showing them the respect that they deserve, or are we just going along with it because we don't want to cause problems? There is a distinct difference between obedience and reverence. We need to respect these individuals. One, because they're able to take that office, that they meet the qualifications, the qualities seen in the Scriptures, and secondly, because they're willing to do it. I've known quite a lot of men in my life, it hasn't been a long life yet, that meet, as far as I can tell, all of the things the Scriptures tell us an elder should be, but they don't have the desire for it. They don't step up to that office. I don't know if it's because they're afraid of that or because they doubt themselves, whatever. But the men here are willing to do that. They take that burden upon themselves. We need to honor that. We are told throughout the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, and understand how difficult this commandment would have been for them in the first century under the Roman Empire, to submit, not just submit, not just obey, but to respect government figures. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 13, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." He says, we as Christians are to stand out in that we submit, that we honor the king, the emperor, those that are in charge over us. And I know there's quite a few people in the church that this is a problem area for them, because they disagree with policy that's being made, because they are passionate about what the law has to say, and they feel that they are being taken advantage of and disenfranchised, stepped all over. And to a large part, it's probably true. But it does not give us license to degrade and insult those over us. We are to honor them, if not for their personalities, we're to honor them for the office that they hold, to respect the role that they fill, that they have a responsibility to uphold the law, to protect us, to take care of us, to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. Do we show that respect? President, governor, police officers, they have a role in that. They're not government figures. But do we honor them? Or do we see it as an inconvenience? What is our attitude? And of course, our employers, those in charge over us. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the first two verses, it says, "Let all who are under a yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved." Notice that it doesn't say, honor them respect them, listen to what they say, unless they don't know how to do their job. Or accept. It gives no exception. This is the rule. We honor our employers. We honor those who are in charge over us at our workplaces. We have to bear this in mind. And of course, we do it here in part. It says, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Because if we wear the name of Christ, if we are living as Christians, we are representatives of Him. We're ambassadors for Christ, the Scriptures say. How does it look if we're constantly complaining about the boss behind his back? If we're constantly putting things down and we're that individual at work, always has a problem with something. We're to do our own work quietly and live peaceably with all. And this idea of showing common courtesy, of showing respect, listening when someone else is talking, I mentioned before, it's universal. You can't have someone who says, well, I respect God because He's God, He's my Creator, He's given me these things, He's perfect. But I don't have to respect these individuals over here because of what they're doing in their lives. We don't find that commandment anywhere in the Scriptures. It's not there. The idea that you treat others the way you want to be treated, known as the golden rule, that's what we find. You don't talk about them behind their back. You don't put them down. You don't give others a bad sense about this individual. Let other people make up their own minds. And if you have a low opinion of someone, it's your opinion, you have a right to it, but you can keep it to yourself. Be a respectful individual. And again, in addressing how we instill this into our children and our grandchildren, this has to do with us and the example that we set. Maybe we show respect for God. And maybe we love our husband or wife. But do I always have something to say about people at school, people at work? They pick up on that as well. Someone's constantly railing against the government, railing against this new thing. It's saying one thing and doing another. It's saying you need to respect me, you need to listen to me, but I'm somehow above that. I don't need to do that. Children, notice. If we are to instill respect, it has to be universally. Not just respect the people who are respectable. It doesn't matter. That's on them. They're going to have to answer for that. We have to answer for, are we showing them the honor that they're due? Am I treating this person well? Or am I treating them as if somehow they're below me? As if I'm so much better and I don't have to care how they feel or what they think. We know that's not the case. The Scriptures tell us we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. All the things of this life that we see as so important, how much money someone has, where they're from, how much education they have, it's meaningless to God. So we who are to be living for God, it should be meaningless to us as well. Seems like this is a problem that's just getting worse and worse. And a lot of people would say it's something that has multiplied in the last 20, 30 years, something like that. I don't know. Who's to say? It's probably a problem that's been around a lot longer than we like to admit. It's just not been as obvious. Children out in public openly disrespecting their parents, cursing at them, saying they hate them, not listening to what they have to say. It's a sad thing. Even sadder is where it's going to lead to. Imagine that individual in 20 years being an active member of the community. It's frightening. It's because the respect isn't there, because the authority is not taught. We need to teach our children that we as parents have authority. They need to listen to us because we love them, because we're looking out for them, because we have their best interest in mind. And we need to be doing our part to be respectable people. And of course, a big part of that is showing them that we need to respect God, that we submit to Him, that we follow after Him because He is worthy of all the respect we could possibly give Him, all the reverence, with awe, that we worship Him because He is in a position of authority, because we're going to have to answer to Him. And so, just as we respect God, we respect other people. We are in no position, we have no right to put them down, to act as if we're somehow superior. If we do that, we're going to have to answer for it. We need to respect those who are in authority over us. Understand that they're there for a reason. We might not like it, we might not agree with it, but we have to respect them nonetheless. And as I mentioned before, ultimately, respecting God, having a reverence for Him, knowing that this is the being that created us, that gave us His Son, that respect, if we have it, if we mean it, translates into obedience. Because if we revere God, then we're going to understand we need to listen to His Word. That's what we have to live by, nothing else. That we accept no substitutes. We have to understand that if God tells us that we must believe, that we must repent, but I like living this way, doesn't matter. God tells us we can't have it. He tells us if we are involved in these things, idolatry, sexual immorality, lying, stealing, we have no part, no inheritance of the kingdom of God. We have to be faithful to Him. And that's all that matters. God has told us what we must do to accept the free gift of salvation. He's given us His Son. He's done all of that for us. He tells us we must believe. Based on that belief, based on our understanding of His truth, that we repent of our sins, we make that change. We admit that we have a problem of sin. And we say we don't want to live that way anymore. We repent of it. We turn away from it. We confess Jesus as the Son of God. We openly say that we believe that He is who He said He was. The Son of God. God in the flesh. Make that good confession. And based on that confession of faith, to be baptized, to be immersed in water, putting to death that old man of sin, it's buried there. We rise to walk in newness of life. It's nothing that we do. It's not that we earn it. That's how we accept the gift that God is offering to us. Our sins washed away, knowing that we can have eternal life with Him in heaven. What a wonderful thing it is. But bear this in mind. If we're not giving God the respect He deserves now in this life, how could we possibly be in His presence in heaven throughout eternity? We're told that in heaven they're worshiping God all the time, nonstop. We have to have that attitude now if we hope to be there once this life is over. If you are not a child of God, if you are outside of Christ, if you understand God's Word, believe it to be the truth, know that if you were to die, if Christ were to come back now, He wouldn't say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He would say, "I never knew you." What a sad thing that would be. But you can make that right. You can make that change in your life. Obey the gospel plan of salvation. We can help you. We will pray for you. We will do whatever we can to help you to come to Christ, to be in that right relationship with God. Maybe you've done so. You are a Christian, yet you've wandered away from Him. You've fallen back into the ways of the world. Old habits die hard. We can change that. We can repent of it. We can ask Him for His forgiveness, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of the sins that we've committed. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, do not delay and come. All together we stand while we sing.